Take me to your artists.
Holy crow, people, the Tonys are on tonight. It's my favorite night of the year. And, dare I say it, maybe even more favorite than my birthday. Wow. But in any case, I will give you my prediction at the end of the show on who I think tonight's big, big winner for Best Musical will be, as well as the promised update reports on my rehearsals and the rehearsals for Breaking Up is Hard to Do. But first up, I have an interview with the soft-spoken and charming Mr. Ronnie Mishra, who plays Gabriel Green in Breaking Up is Hard to Do. So, with all that being said, let's get started, shall we? When the time came for Breaking Up is Hard to Do auditions, I was one of the last people to do so. However, I wasn't alone. So I get up, I sing my song, do my thing, sit back down. And the other person gets up, sings their song, and I sit there and think, oh my goodness, I was not expecting that, which is always a wonderful surprise. After he sang and sat down, Lisa Milanis gave us both the sides for Gabe and for Del, and had us read both of those sides and flip-flop. He read Gabe first. I could tell right away he was going to get the part. There was something in the way he delivered the lines that was very genuine and honest, so it's easy to see why Ronnie Mishra got the part of Gabriel Green. He was kind enough to sit down and speak with me the other week about his past experience in theater and his experience thus far in Breaking Up is Hard to Do. I'd like to play that for you now. Hello, and my guest this week is Mr. Ronnie Mishra, who plays the innocent Gabe in West Valley Light Opera's Breaking Up is Hard to Do. Hello, Ronnie. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
I am well, thank you. Thank you so much, by the way, for doing this. I really, really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
What I would love to talk to you about is, what has your theatrical history been like?
Well, I've been doing theater since elementary school, I guess, just little school shows, and I didn't really have much of a chance to do it in high school. I did it through mid school, but when I got to college, I wanted to get back into it, so I started doing college productions, and that was a lot of fun. But then somehow when I left college, I don't know, I never even really thought about doing community theater until probably 4 or 5 years after I got out of college. So, but since then, well, not quite four, like 2 years out of college, but since then, I've been doing a lot of community theater, not a lot compared to some of the other people in the cast, but I try to do like one show a year, which keeps me really busy, I really enjoy it.
When you say that you did shows in like elementary and middle school, and then you didn't do anything in high school, what was the difference between the two, or like between high school and the rest? Was there no drama department or anything? Or?
No, actually, high school was just really busy for me, so just didn't have a chance to do it, I guess.
It wasn't high on the priority list.
Right.
That makes sense. So what other shows have you done?
Well, in the area, most recently I was in Once Upon a Mattress with Bree, who's also in our cast.
Sunnyvale? Okay.
I've done two other shows with Sunnyvale. I did Bye Bye Birdie several years ago, and I did Merrily We Roll Along, which was a really fun show.
Can't remember if I saw that or not. I'm like, think.
And then with West Valley, I did Wonderful Town. A couple years ago.
I've never actually seen that. What's that one about?
Well, it's a show about these two girls. It's kind of similar to this show, I guess. these two girls who go off to New York. They move from the Midwest to New York to experience big city life and their experiences along the way. It's actually based on the biographies of the two women who wrote it.
It's
semi-autobiographical. So.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
So, since there's such a comparison between the two, that show and Breaking Up is Hard to Do, how are you finding the experience between the two?
Well, I guess the similarities are pretty cursory. It's just the fact that there are these two girls and there's romance. But I think they're both really fun shows. I personally like this show better, I guess, because my role is a little bigger in it. But yeah, Wonderful Town was a great show as well. A lot of dancing in that show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Matt, I missed it now. Now, in this show, you play the character Gabe. Mm-hmm. What? How did you develop this character?
Well, it's kind of funny, actually. I think that the character is very similar to me in a lot of aspects. He's kind of shy. He's kind of timid and, I guess, not the coolest person around. But he has a great heart. And I feel like it's a really good role for me because I'm kind of shy and I take everything really seriously. So Gabe kind of does too. It feels like a really good fit. And even for even silly things like when we were taking publicity photos, mm-hmm. The costumer picked out a shirt for me from back here, and then she saw what I was wearing and she's like, no, I like your shirt better. You're already wearing Gabe's
shirt.
Oh,
wow. Wow. The character of Gabe, just from what I've seen you do in rehearsals and everything, is hysterical. You've got such great comic timing that's something that can't be taught. So it made me wonder, is there anybody in your family that is just naturally funny?
Yeah, I mean, I guess my dad's kind of funny, but funny in the way that everyone's dads are kind of funny, I guess. He does strange things. I guess we're all like that. But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say that there are any comedians in my family or anything like that.
In my experience, it's always been someone that has the kind of comedic timing that you have. It's all instinct. So every time I ask, you know, is there somebody funny in your family? Uh-huh. Usually there is. Uh-huh. And a lot of times it's the dad. Mm-hmm. So, okay, I just wanted to see if, you know, yeah, that you're along the lines with, sure, you know, all those, uh-huh, really funny people that I know. So I'm wondering about Brie.
I'm sure she's got a funny dad, too.
What do you hope to do after this show? Do you have any?
Well, so it's kind of interesting. In the past, every show that I've done has been a show that I knew nothing about when I went into auditions. And the, ooh, same is true for this show. I like community theater, and I like watching community theater, but it seems like somehow the shows that I'm interested in, they're always shows that I've never seen before.
Really?
So, yeah. Which isn't to say that I wouldn't love to do some of the shows that I've done in the past again, or some of the shows that I've seen. It's just, I don't know, maybe it's just coincidence. It's when I have time to do a show, it's always some show that I've never seen before. Often I've never heard before.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So if you could do any show, what would your dream role be?
That's tough. I'm gonna have to think about that for a while. So
Okay. Well, let's yeah, go to another question. I know that so many theater companies in the Bay Area within like the last 2 weeks had a slew of auditions. Mm-hmm. Did you go try out for anything?
No, I didn't. Like I said, I try to do one a year. Just because, I mean, everything's busy and work's busy. It's kind of fortunate that things are starting to slow down at work right now because we're starting to pick up for the show.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that in the fall, I'm probably going to be busy at work again. So I generally find that in the summer and in the fall, I have time to do about one show. So I'll be looking out again probably late next spring.
Oh, well, that's a bummer because you're so much fun to watch.
Well, thanks.
I had asked Lisa and she, you know, she had said that when she was casting, she was picking people that just kind of exuded that little something that reminded her of what she had read in the script. And she said, and then when he sang and he opened his mouth, he's got the most amazing voice. I'm like, I know, right? So it's kind of a bummer that you don't, you know, have the opportunity to do more shows. So that makes me a little sad because you're hilarious and you sing well. So,
well, thank you.
You're very welcome. So when you created this character, aside from taking bits and pieces of yourself, did you do any research into like that time period and anything?
I haven't done specific research for the show, but I'm kind of familiar with the era, I guess. I mean, from TV and movies. So that certainly influenced my character a lot. And a lot of it, I mean, I guess a lot of it comes from the script, but it kind of reinforces things that I already know about the era. Like my character says, gee whiz and gosh, things like that. And so that
and
kind
fetching.
Of, right, right. So that kind of helps to set the character in my mind, I guess. Like you said, and like I said earlier before, a lot of it is just what feels right. I mean, I know what it's like to be a shy guy, so.
No, you said you didn't really know anything about the show. So now that you do know, like, the music and everything, did you ever, did you go back and listen to Neil Sedaka's music at all?
Yeah, so actually a number of the show, a number of the songs I recognize from the radio. And it's kind of interesting how our versions are different from the radio versions. I actually went karaokeing with some friends a couple of weeks ago, and we sang Love Will Keep Us Together, which is the finale of the show.
Yeah.
And it's so completely different. it felt wrong singing it, the karaoke version.
Oh, okay. I was just going to ask, did you sing it the way it's written in the show? Or
right.
Oh, man. So when you hear the songs on the radio now, or I don't know if you do hear, because occasionally I hear one or two songs here and there, but do you automatically start thinking of the show?
Yeah, I do.
Is it going to be something that's forever associated with this show?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that that's great. I mean, I already have a lot of really fond memories about the show, and it hasn't even started yet. So, yeah, I think that that's great, and I hope so. I hope every time I hear one of these songs on the radio, I think back to this.
That's great. What has been so far the most difficult thing about this production for you?
I guess the hardest thing is this is actually my first non-ensemble role. So it's been a challenge. It's been a lot of fun, but it's been a challenge to even think about characterization and things like that. Because in the ensemble, I mean, you kind of have to, but I've never really had long periods of time where I'm in the front center of the stage. So it's an interesting experience, and it's definitely something that I have to learn to be comfortable with. I find that even now I kind of rush through my lines because I'm still a little nervous about it, and yeah, so I guess that's the toughest part.
Well, I think now is the perfect time to rush through lines while you're in rehearsals,
right?
But I just looked at the time and I saw that you know you're called at 8, so I don't want to keep you too much longer, but I do want to find out from you, what has been the most fun show that you've ever done? Aside from this.
Well, because I was going to say probably this. well, I don't know. I mean, I think every show is a great experience, and I've had fun with all of them. But probably my first show in college, which was this random show that no one's ever heard about called Weird Romance.
Never heard of that.
Yeah. And I think that it was because it was the first time that I was in a show and actually like conscious about being in a show, as opposed to when I was a kid, just kind of like playing around. Yeah, I think it's a whole different experience being an adult in a show. So yeah, I guess that's what I would say.
Thank you so much, Mr. Ronnie. I really appreciate you sitting down and chatting with me. I know you have to get out there into rehearsal. So thank you again. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
Oh no, Mr. Ronnie, I forgot to find out what your dream role is. So, if you're listening to this, Mr. Ronnie, I would love to find out, either via email, Facebook, anyway, carrier pigeon, however you want to get it to me, I'd love to find out. Maybe I'll just ask you when I see you at rehearsal next time. I'll do that. Oh, and also, just so that way you guys aren't totally confused, when Ronnie was talking about the costumer bringing a shirt from back here, we actually had the interview in the costume area of the rehearsal studios at West Valley Light Opera. Well, seeing how tonight is the Tony Awards, again, my favorite night of the year, ever, even better than New Year's Eve, I do feel it proper to celebrate. So this song is about celebration. Hopefully I won't get in trouble for playing it, but it's a musical song, so I can't see any way of not playing it, especially since we just saw it yesterday afternoon, and I am still floored, and I still get tears in my eyes when I think about it, because it was so incredible.
Hey, hey, what's this thunderia that I'm seeing on the street? I never thought I'd see the day, since when are Latin people scared of heat? When I was a little girl growing up in the hills of Vega Alta, my favorite time of year was Christmas time. Ask me why.
Why?
There wasn't an ounce of snow, but oh, the coquito would flow. As we sang the aguinaldo, the carnaval would begin to grow. Business is closed, and we're about to go. Let's have a carnaval del barrio. Carnaval del barrio. Carnaval del barrio. Carnaval.
Carnaval
del barrio.
Barrio.
Carnaval.
Carnaval
del barrio.
Barrio.
We don't need electricidad. Get off your butt, avanza. Saca la maraca, bring your tambourine. Come and join the parranda.
¡Epa!
My dad is from Chile, NPR, which means I'm Chile Dominican, but I always say I'm from Queens.
Favor. Vanessa, don't pretend that Usnavi's your friend. We all know that he loves you.
Wow, now that you mention that sexual tension, it's easy to see. No, this is bogus.
Now that you noticed, you get all your coffee for free.
Here
comes Usnavi.
Yo, 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 now. Everyone gather round, sit down. Listen, I got an announcement. Wow, it involves large amounts. It's somewhere in the range of 96,000. Atención, I'm closing shop. Sonny, grab everybody a soda pop. Yo, grab a bottle, kiss it up to God, 'cause Abuela Claudia just won the lotto. Abuela Claudia won the lotto. We're all gonna fly for the tomorrow.
Oh my God! Alza la bandera, la bandera dominicana. Alza la bandera.
Y'all want, we close the bodega, the neighborhood is gone. They selling the dispatch and they closing the salon, and they'll never turn the lights back on, 'cause we are powerless,
we are powerless.
And y'all keep dancing and singing and celebrating, and it's getting late and this place disintegrating, and
we are powerless, we are powerless.
Right, we're powerless to light up a candle. There's nothing going on here that we can't handle.
You don't understand, I'm not trying to be funny.
We're gonna give a third of the money to you, Sonny.
What?
Yeah, yeah.
For real?
Yes. Maybe you're right, Sonny. Calling the coroners. Maybe we're powerless, a corner full of foreigners. Maybe this neighborhood's changing forever. Maybe tonight is our last night together. However, how do you wanna face it? Do you wanna waste it when the end is so close you can taste it? Y'all can cry with your head in the sand. I'ma fly this flag that I got in my hand.
Viva esa bandera.
Hey!
Alzala donde quiera.
Hey!
Can we raise our voice tonight? Can we make a little noise tonight?
Hey!
Esa bonita bandera.
Hey!
Tiene mi alma entera.
Hey!
In fact, can we sing so loud and raw? Cause they can hear us across the bridge in East of Caucus.
Arriba esa bandera. Alzala donde quiera.
To Puerto Rico, to Santo Domingo, wherever we go, we rep our people and amigo.
Esa bonita bandera.
One last night in the hood again.
We're pa.
Carnaval del Barrio. Carnaval del Barrio.
Mira esa bandera.
Carnaval del Barrio.
Carnaval
del Barrio. Del Barrio. Alza la bandera dominicana. Alza la bandera, la bandera puertorriqueña. Alza la bandera.
For those of you who do not know, that song was from the Tony Award winner, In the Heights. The song was called Carnaval del Barrio. I was so, so lucky to see it yesterday afternoon and was absolutely floored by the energy and the passion and the uniqueness of this phenomenon. It was indeed very, very deserving of the awards that it won. Although I will have to admit, I was kind of bummed when I learned that Lin-Manuel Miranda will be playing the lead role next week in Arizona. I believe it's Arizona. But still, 1 week makes me so, so sad. So, should you ever get the chance to see In the Heights, I don't highly recommend it. I say you must go see it. It is fantastic. Just fantastic. But enough about that, because if I keep talking about it, I'll start thinking about it. And if I start thinking about it, I'll get choked up, and we don't need that, especially right now. So let's move on, shall we? For anyone who's never been in a musical before, typically what happens is first you learn all the music, then the director and choreographer come in, and they begin to put either movement to the music, or they begin blocking the scenes that you're in. So what happens in the process is that as you're focusing on the movement or the blocking and lines of the scene, you sort of forget some of the stuff that you learned while you were working on music, like the harmonies and the little nuances that the vocal director wanted you to put in there. And that's where we're at in Breaking Up is Hard to Do. This part of the process is called run-throughs, or if you don't mind the way it sounds, but it's kind of true, it's called a stumble-through, where you kind of start from the beginning at the top of the show and you work your way to the end of the show, but you stop and fix things and then pick back up and move on and stop and fix things. You try your best to get through without needing to stop. However, there are times when things just become so chaotic that it needs to be reworked or resituated so that way everything truly does make sense in the grand scheme of things. In addition to them being in the run-through slash stumble-through parts of the show, they are also at this very moment moving into the theater, which is they're taking the sets and the props from the rehearsal hall and moving them all into the theater. And that is always the exciting part because then you get a sense of the actual true size of the stage that you're going to be working on and all the free space and the entrances and exits that you can make. You can actually do not just, you know, moving off to the side of the room. It's exciting and unnerving at the same time. Exciting because you have all this new space to play, but unnerving because you know that in just a few short weeks you're going to be opening the show to the public and and sharing with them all the hard work that you've just put into this show and hope that they enjoy it as much as you enjoyed working on it. The last time I was at the rehearsal, the cast was running through Act 2. And as they worked through it, there were questions about the harmonies and everything that I just spoke about. When you start putting everything together, you kind of forget one piece or the other here. And so they were working through that. And it was great because they were actually making pretty good progress and it was just steadily hopping along. The numbers are still pretty darn funny, even though I've seen them like several times. I still get a kick out of them. I tried taking pictures of them, but they moved so fast that most of the pictures came out blurry, so I'm kind of bummed about that. However, they were still super funny and very upbeat, and it was a delight to see them still trying to get that extra laugh. So, I highly recommend you get your tickets before they open on June 26th. If I remember correctly, my understanding is that the Sunday matinee shows are pretty well sold, so the tickets are pretty sporadic. So if it is indeed a Sunday show that you would like to see, you better get on that. You can call them at 408-268-3777. I will have all this information on the website, www.theactorvist.com, actorvist.com. So, that brings me to Shakespeare Three Ways, which is the project that I'm working on. This project is being produced by Three of a Perfect Pair Theater Company, and it's basically an evening of three one-acts that were inspired by Shakespeare. The first one is called A Debt by Any Other Name, and it's kind of vaudevillian in its energy and inspired by Shakespeare's use of insults. The second one is called Love is Blind, and it is described as Renaissance sitcom inspired by Shakespeare's language of love and lust. And then the third one, which I'm actually not a part of, is called Vaulting Ambition, and it's described as a farce inspired by the deeds of Shakespeare's villains. All three plays were written by Craig Engen, who is a San Jose native and very, very, very big fan of the Bard. What I love about this particular project is that I am playing against my quote-unquote type in both of these one acts, and I find it to be really invigorating. The director, Linnea George, keeps pushing me completely out of my comfort zone and has given me a million new ways to look at things. Now, please do not take this as bragging, but I have been told several times that I have great instincts on stage, and Linnea has a counter for every one of my instincts and makes me do the counter, which I feel forces me to become a better actor. And I appreciate it. Like I said, this has been a great, great project to work on because I feel like I'm actually growing as an actor. I hope this comes across in the actual performances. And it's something I can carry over when I do musicals once again. So that way, I'm not just up there, you know, singing and dancing and acting. I'm actually acting while singing and dancing. One of my favorite exercises that she has done is she gave us these 15 questions, you know, things like, things I know about my character that are in the script, things that are not in the script that I know about my character, my secret fears, biggest secret, and all sorts of little things. And then you come up with a mini, mini skit, and you're timed so that way you don't stop and think about it too much. While it was so much fun, it was so hard. And I think I got what I needed out of it, and it was really interesting because it's the actual opposite of how I normally am. So to play that on stage will be a challenge for me because as the tempo of the play picks up, I tend to start bouncing on my toes and becoming lighter in body as well. And the choices that I made for my particular character, everything is rooted and is grounded solidly on the floor. And everything needs to be taken lower in voice and more direct. And so it's insane because it's not really how I am in real life. And most of the other characters that I've played have been very close to who I am. This is a complete breakage of that typical character that I usually play. Aside from West Side Story, when I got to play Chino and really go somewhere with it inwardly, I mean, there's not really much for him to say to kind of express outwardly. So I'm hoping that came across, especially in the last scene. But I think thanks to Linnea and Craig and them helping me figure out, I mean, with Craig being the author of the plays, I'm sure he has an idea of what the two characters that I have are supposed to be like. And Linnea has got this great third-person perspective that she can contribute that we can build these great characters with. Well, my friends, we've hit that half-hour mark, and so I will bid you a farewell. The only show that I'm going to say anything about to go see is one that I know that I'm going to go see this week, which is Little Shop of Horrors, which features my buddy Jason Arias as Seymour, and my good friend Mr. Brett Carlson as the puppet. And it's not like you can say me, but for some reason when I said puppet, I had to do the sock puppet motion with the hand, kind of like Kermit the Frog or, you know, yada, 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 that people do with their hand. Anyway, so go see Little Shop of Horrors at Bus Barn. I will have information on the website, www.theactorvist.com, ACTORVIST.com. You can also find me on Facebook at Jerry1R, The Actorvist. Also, Superhero City, become a friend, so that way we can partner up and I can beat up more people. Other than that, enjoy the Tony Awards because they are fantastic and they celebrate everything that theater is about. Also, I have some auditions that I will be posting on the website as well. With all that being said and done, I have one more song for you. One more song. This song is the prologue from Little Shop of Horrors. So for all my friends who have gigs, who have showings, who have performances, I bid you break a leg. For everybody else, get out there. Go see some theater. Go to a poetry reading. Go see some paintings in the museum, or go to a recital. It's the time of year when people are wrapping up their season. Go see some recitals. I saw a brilliant recital by my beautiful, beautiful friend Aunt Claire up in San Francisco, and I had so much fun. I have a couple of pictures that I will be posting of her. She was just adorable. Her accompanist and partner in crime for this performance was amazing. So get out there and celebrate the arts however you want to do it. Don't forget to watch the Tony Awards on Channel 5, CBS, tonight at 8. Oh, and before I forget, I think tonight's big winner is going to be Memphis. Until next time, my name is Jerry and I am The Actorvist.
Surfaced, as such enemies often do, in the seemingly most innocent and unlikely of places.